Rational Creatures, Episode 15. Hello, hello, we are back today with Episode 15 of Rational Creatures on YouTube, getting very close to the end of the story. And in this episode, we see Anna kind of go through her, I don't know, growing up phase is not quite the right word, but just like figuring a little bit more out about herself, finally realizing she's going to live her life for herself and not for the expectations of the people around her. And that is a moment that we kind of see Anne have in the novel, but I don't know if we see it as explicitly, at least not in my remembering of it, of Anne in the book actually coming to this realization that she has to do what she feels is right. And I think that it mostly comes around with the situation with Mr. Elliot and realizing that she doesn't want to marry him and that this is not going to happen for her. Like, she's not going to do that, even though that's what, like, Lady Russell wants her to do. And it's kind of her moment of, you know, she did what Lady Russell wanted her to do way back when. She's not going to do what Lady Russell wants her to do this time. This time she's going to listen to herself. And in this version, obviously, in the YouTube Rational Creatures, there is not a Lady Russell for her to have taken that advice from, but it's more she's taking advice from Poppy, her dad. And here, this episode is where we're kind of seeing Aunt Anna come to that same sort of realization in place, where she goes back to work for her father at the travel agency. He asks for her to come back. So this whole thing, you know, this whole show has basically been, she's been let go from her father's company, and so she's come to live with her younger sister for a while. She gets a job at a coffee shop. She's meeting all these people. That's basically like the framework of this whole show so far, right? And she kind of had a fight with Marisol recently, we saw, because she decided she's going to come back and work for Poppy again when he asked her to. So as soon as he asked her to come back, she's decided, yes, she's going to go back. And so that's where this episode shows up, is that Anna is now back working for Poppy, and Elliot is there. I don't think he's Mr. Elliot. I think Elliot's just his name, first name. So Elliot is there, and he was brought on while she was kind of gone. And it's one of those things where her father is listening to him and his ideas about stuff that he never listened to her about. And you kind of see her realizing that. And that's kind of where we come back into this episode, starts with Anna sitting next to Elliot back in the office at the travel agency, and her realization that she has to live her own life and not live her father's life or the expectations of her father's life. Because Elliot's sitting next to her and talking about the logo, going back and forth on the colors. Should it be blue? Should it be green? Should it be purple? And she's just staring off into space, not paying attention to him at all. And he's being kind of annoying and like, Earth to Anna, come back in. And she doesn't reply to him. She just said, or doesn't reply to his actual like stuff about the logo. Instead, she just comes back with, you know, I've been working at this travel agency, selling those trips to people for so long, and I have never actually traveled anywhere. And saying, and Elliot says, oh, you guys never travel? It's never too late. And that seems to be sort of the moment that she wakes up. It's never too late. And Anna's like, oh, okay. And she closes her laptop. She gets her stuff. She says, I gotta go. And she corrects him on the way he's been saying her name. He's been saying Anna instead of Anna. And she gives her opinion that, you know, you should stay with the blue logo. That's the best one. Kind of is herself and not like in her little shell for the first time ever. Says goodbye, wanders off, and like leaves him there. And the next thing we have is her showing up. Well, the next thing we have is that Sophie and Fred are hanging out at Sophie's apartment and eating a grilled cheese sandwich. And, well, Fred's got a grilled cheese sandwich in his hand, and Sophie is they're both chewing. And they're reading the Fred's next book, or, you know, part of it. Sophie's really enjoying what he's written. He thinks it's really good. when there's a knock at the door, and guess who it is? It's Anna. And Fred has mustard on his shirt, just so that, you know, as a sight gag, I suppose. But Anna's not there to see Fred, she's there to see Sophie, because it's Sophie's apartment. She goes to talk to Sophie, and Fred is very awkward and kind of weird around her, because he's still in love with her, obviously. But then we cut to black again, and Anna is talking to Sophie about grad school applications, and that is something that Anna had talked about possibly wanting to do earlier, but then she ended up going back to work for her father instead. So now we're seeing her kind of sort of taking on this want for herself again, saying, oh no, this is actually something I want to do for me. I want to go to grad school, so I'm going to figure this out, as opposed to continuing to work from her father's company forever and eternity, and trying to live her own life, which I really like. And so then that scene's very short. Cut to, she's at Marisol's house and on the phone with Poppy and saying that, you know, she'll be back. Don't worry about it. I just, you know, it's not about you guys. It's about me. It's not you. It's me. And I love you, Poppy. Don't worry about it. And I think that part of it is sort of, to me at least, it's showing this idea of, she doesn't want to disavow her father. It's not like she hates her father and she, like, never wants to see him again. That's not the point. The point is that she's living her own life, and or should be living her own life for herself and not for Poppy. Like, not for her, what her father wants and what he needs out of her life, what he expects out of her life. That she can, you know, coming to grips with this idea that she can respect him and what he's doing with his life without wanting to do the exact thing, same thing as him, is without actually having to follow exactly his steps. That those things are not mutually exclusive. Like, you can hold both thoughts. You can respect what your father has done and spent his life doing without wanting to completely follow him. And trying to figure out how to live her own life without having to do exactly what her father wanted her to do or wants her to do at all times. And I think that that is something that takes time and can be hard to do, hard to navigate successfully. But that is what she's trying to do on this phone call, in my opinion. And then we cut to a scene with her and Marisol saying, you know, thank you for letting me stay with you again. And, you know, just basically, I couldn't face him tonight. I needed a little bit of time. And saying that maybe she'll get her own place out here near Marisol instead of living with Poppy any forever. And you can just see kind of, and it ends with Anna saying life is hard and Marisol kind of agreeing. And then cut to credits. So that's the entire episode. It's very short. I think it's 4 minutes, something like that. But I think we get some interesting, I don't know, again, details about this. So what we've learned from this scene, what we get out of this storyline at this point, is that Anna is taking control of her life and wanting to live for herself and trying to not step on people's toes, not like burn the place down behind her. She's not angry at her father. She's not angry at the situation she's in. She just doesn't want it anymore, right? So trying to pull yourself out of something without like burning it to the ground and like leaving rubble behind you, and also without burning bridges with her father, and, you know, trying to keep things together, I think is sort of this place that can be hard to navigate that Anna is trying to do, trying to differentiate herself and have her own life. And I also think it's an important piece of this story because, yes, underlyingly, there is this romance between her and Fred, and that is going to be the culmination of the story in a lot of ways. But also, the story of Persuasion and the story of Anna here in Rational Creatures is a lot about her finding her own identity in herself as well, and having to kind of be, I don't know, this idea of being your own person before you can fall in love with somebody else, before you're ready for a, you know, you have to belong to yourself before you can belong to somebody else. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's what I'm getting from this, of this idea of her having to be her, she has to figure out how to be alone and to be herself, as opposed to most of her life now she's spent trying to be her father's, you know, assistant at in work, in the home, like that's where we see in these flashbacks. We saw her taking care of her younger sister Marisol with her health stuff. You know, this idea of her mom died young and she tried to step into sort of the mother's role in the family of trying to help her sister, trying to help her father, trying to kind of deal with the entire family situation in a lot of ways, trying to be that glue that holds the family together. And this might be me. I will freely admit that I might be sort of putting my own thoughts and opinions onto this, because that is my story, right? Well, my mom died when I was relatively young. I was, you know, in college at the time, but I definitely had that instinct and I felt that internal pressure to kind of step up to the plate. Even before that, because my mom was sick for a while before she died, of needing to step up to the plate to take care of the family and feeling that pressure of having to do that. And I feel, I don't want to say that in a bad way because I don't, my mind goes to like the parentification thing that some families do, which is child abuse. And that is not what happened to me. I don't, you know, it wasn't that I was expected by my parents to raise my younger siblings and step up to the plate in that sense. It was more that my parents were struggling at that time, and there was a lot of stuff going on, and I put a lot of pressure on myself to step up to the plate and take care of things. And especially because I was technically an adult, but I was, you know, 18, 17, 18, 19 when a lot of this was happening, and put a lot of pressure on myself to take care of things and make sure my younger sibling was good, and that the family was good, and that I don't feel like anybody else was forcing me to do that. It was very much an internal thing of me feeling like I needed to. And I feel like I might be projecting that onto Anna here, because that's what I see her and on her story in this version that I really resonate with Anna on. Because I, you know, don't have her exact struggles, but this concept of being the oldest daughter and your mom dies young and feeling this pressure to make sure the family stays together and is okay through this is something that I strongly resonate with. And it's interesting because the story does not emphasize the fact that her mom died, right? I mean, they talk about it somewhat, but like Anna is not spending time on screen, you know, dealing with the fact that her mom is dead. And Anne doesn't in the novel either. Like, you know, her mom died, you know, like there's a dad and a bunch of daughters. You know that there was a mom at one time. But it's not talked about that much. It's just like, oh yeah, she's dead, gone by, like moving on and not dealing with the impact of that in a lot of ways. But that is the part that I really resonate with here, of this concept that I don't know that I thought about when reading the novel, because it was sort of de-emphasized, this whole dead mother thing. I don't know if I really resonated with Anne in that same way, but I really am resonating with Anna through this watch of Rational Creatures. Of this, of being, again, like I said, the oldest daughter when your mom dies and you're young and you have to, or you feel the need to hold things together for a younger sibling. And try to continue to, like, I was the one who was trying to continue family traditions of things, like, trying to keep my brother and my dad doing things as a family. And I will admit, I don't think I succeeded in that long term. It did not work out. I don't know if my mom had lived, if it would have been more successful. But I definitely put a lot of pressure on myself to try and keep family stuff going. And I don't feel like it worked. We don't do a lot of things as a family. It doesn't happen much. Now, some of that is my brother did move away, like out of town. But I felt, and I felt a lot of sort of personal failure that my family did not continue to be a close family after that. And some of that, again, is my own personal hang-up because, you know, we were at that age. My brother was an adult and he moved away. That's a normal thing to happen. And I don't, like, think that he shouldn't have done that. But I'm just talking about this, like, feeling of wanting to keep the family going and keep things happening and step up to that plate. And in my mind, my version of that was making sure that, or trying to keep the family doing things together when people didn't really want to. And Anna's version of that seems to have been, well, A, trying to take care of Marisol, but then stepping into the position her dad had for her at their travel agency and doing the job that her father wants her to do to support the family business. And I see that parallel again because, you know, the family business was failing. That's why she got let go at the beginning of the story. So the sense of kind of personal failure that you weren't able to keep the family business afloat to the degree that you wanted to. So yeah, this is a very short episode, but I'm getting very deep on my own personal emotions with it. Because at least in this episode, that is what is vibing with me, is that's what I see from Anna, is her finally starting to realize that she needs to have a life outside of this position she forced herself into or felt pressured into when she was young, of taking up this position at family travel agency versus me, the position of trying to be the family organizer and coordinator. And I don't know, I'm having some personal revelations because I feel like I still am trying to have that position all the time. I still am trying to fill that role, and I feel like I'm getting very little help from either of the other parties on it. And I wish that I would get more from that and more interest in being a family still. And I'm having a very significant emotional reaction to this. And it's not really associated with this episode, I don't think, but it's where my mind goes from it. So I'm just going to go with it. And that is what I took from this episode. That I need to then consider some of my own thoughts about where I am and if I am as far as Anna is, as far as figuring out how to live for yourself and not for other people. And I don't know that I have fully gotten there yet. Neither has Anna, but we are working on it. So that's where we're at. And that's as much as I've got. I've talked for way longer, the 4-minute episode, and I've been talking for 17. So I think that's enough to say on this episode of Rational Creatures. But we're getting very close to the end. There's only a few episodes left to finish out the story. And I'm really enjoying it, and I hope you all are too. Go watch Rational Creatures on YouTube. It's definitely worth the watch. And I will see you guys next time. Bye-bye!